today on Real Radio.
What about God in your new creation in Christ, who you are? What about God shines forth in your life? Now, none of us are perfect, but there should be signs of life in us because we've been born again. If you and I bear the marks of our earthly parents, we should bear the mark of our Heavenly Father.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 5, the first two verses of which tell us believers how to live, how we are to represent our Redeemer. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Being Christian is Being Like Christ.
Paul says, therefore, you got to circle that, therefore, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Again, therefore, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Babies are a well-known mystery. And I say that, if you've ever had a baby, you know what I'm talking about. It's a weird thing. For 9 months, this kid's been hanging out in the mommy's tummy, and that's fine, and that's cool, but, you know, it's kind of like Jiffy Pop. You know, when things heat up, that foil begins to swell and get all big. And then all of a sudden, everything's out of the wrapper. And baby is like that. And when baby comes, baby, though it's a little tiny thing, has the power to change your life. It's a weird thing. But babies are a well-known mystery in that we know the baby. I mean, the babies, mommy and daddy, molded together and brought forth, but yet that baby is still an individual. And you've got to get to know that child. It's a weird deal. And for the parents, you have a jump start because you're connected to that child. You see in that child maybe mommy's ears. And then you see in that child daddy's eyes. And you see in that child, you know, grandma's nose. And then you see in that child grandpa's gums or something, you know. You get it, Greg? I meant gums, old, grandpa, child, it's okay. But the baby, there's features about that baby that speak of its parents and even relations. Well, just as we've been born again by the Spirit of God, we are now children in the family of God, if indeed you are born again by the Spirit of God. And tonight, I want you to be thinking about, do you and I, I'll look at me, you look at you, do you have markings of being brought forth by the Spirit of God? Do you have, so to speak, the Holy Spirit's eyes? Do you have the Father's nose? Do you have Jesus' lips, you see? What about God in your new creation in Christ, who you are? What about God shines forth in your life? Now, none of us are perfect, but there should be signs of life in us because we've been born again. If you and I bear the marks of our earthly parents, we should bear the mark of our Heavenly Father. That's a fact. You cannot say, I'm a Christian, and then live like hell 6 days a week. That's a oxymoron. It just doesn't fit. You can't say, I'm a Christian, and live a non-Christian life. Listen, many of us have said to somebody in the course of our time as Christians, to someone else, listen, you shouldn't be doing that. We might say to somebody, you shouldn't be living like that. And that so-called Christian will put their hand on their hip and look back at you and say, listen, you're judging me. And the Bible says, you shall not judge. That's not exactly correct. The Bible says that we are to expose sin. The Bible says when our brother, listen carefully, don't get all wiggy over what I'm saying here. You know, we are so anemic about some things, and this is one of them. When somebody comes up to you who's a Christian, and they come up to you or to somebody and calls them on something, listen, you shouldn't be cussing like that. You're a Christian. Well, you're judging me, brother. I mean, you know what? Jesus says, thou shalt not judge. No, they're not judging. The word judge is unfortunate in the English. The word judge means to condemn. They're not condemning you. They're simply saying, you've got a booger in your life. You've got a booger. Something's wrong. Get it off. It's not good. It's like walking up to somebody and saying, you know, you got a stain here on your collar. Oh, man, you're really attacking my character and my... No, I'm just pointing out that you've got a stain on your collar. Christians get all, or so-called Christians, get all defensive. Oh, he told me that. Hey, listen. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When somebody comes up and says to you, listen, you know, I want you to receive this in the Lord, and they're not condescending. That is not they're coming down on you to judge you. They're calling you on the carpet about something that is not Christ-like in your life. How do you react to that? A lot of people just throw their arms up and start attacking that person and saying, they're judging me. They're so judgmental. Listen, they're not judging you. They may be fruit inspecting, but they're not judging you. And certainly there are those who would seek to judge and to condemn. Those people are messed up. But when somebody comes to you in humility and says, you know, I want to speak to you about something. Receive it, listen to it, right or wrong, listen to them. I like what Charles Spurgeon says. He says, concerning the criticism that comes to you, you're not as bad as they say you are, and you're not as good as they say you are. There's always a middle. When somebody comes up and says, you know what? Let them speak, and then take it to the Lord. Tell them, you know, brother, I'm going to take this to the Lord and pray. But don't get all panicky about it. In verses 3 to 17, next week we'll cover that portion of Scripture, there's going to be a lot of things that Paul is going to say. And you need to buck up now. Get strong. Get tough now. Weather up now. Because Paul, under the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to speak to us about how we live our lives. And it makes all the difference in the world how you receive that. And I hear it all the time from people. I either hear criticism or critique coming in my direction, or I'll hear about it somebody else dealing with somebody in judgment or in honest love and inspection. But you know what? I want you to pay close attention to verses 1 and 2. Because Paul says, therefore, be followers of God as dear children. You're a child of God now. If you have ever said, Jesus, come into my life. Save me from my sins. Make my life your life. I receive you as Lord and Savior. Have you ever prayed that? Raise your hand if you've prayed that prayer in your life. Look at you. You're Christians. You've called upon Christ to save you. And if that's true in your life, and I want to say if throughout the whole night now, because I want to be very careful. If that's true, there will be marks of a new birth. Marks of a new birth. If you've been a so-called Christian for the last 10 years and there's been no change in your life, something is wrong and you are anemic at best. Because the Holy Spirit works day and night. You may be sleeping, but He's working. He's working on you to change you, to make you more like the Son. That's what God does. That's why sometimes our lives are so difficult. When Michelangelo, I think it was Michelangelo, wasn't it? Didn't he carve David? I always get him and Da Vinci messed up, confused. When Michelangelo was chipping away, or going to chip away, actually, at the statue of David, he stood there for days with his mallet and his chisel in hand. And people walked by, thought he was nuts. And somebody walked up to him and said, "What are you looking at?" "Well, I'm looking at this block of stone here." And the guy goes, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see David." Well, the guy probably went, "What a weirdo," and walked away. But the first step to forming David was the raising up of a chisel and the whacking of a mallet began to chisel away on that big stone to create one of the most greatest works of art in human history. It starts with a hard work. The Holy Spirit starts with a hard work in our lives. We come to Christ, as Billy Graham has sang for years, "Come just as you are." That's right, you come just as you are. Don't you ever say, don't you ever think, "You know what? I'm going to clean up my life and then I'm going to come to Christ." Good luck. It'll never happen. Don't do that. Come to Christ just as you are, because it's only through the Spirit of God that He cleans you up. He raises that mallet, He picks up that chisel, and He begins to work away, and sometimes it hurts. Jesus called it dying to flesh, dying to our own demands, our own will, what we want. What we want can often get us in terrible trouble. And so being a Christian is being like Jesus Christ, and let's not forget that. It's a very serious thing. We are children. We've been born into a family. And I want to say this right now. There are no abortions in His family. When you are born again, listen, you're born again once and for all. Well, can I lose my salvation? No, if you have it, you're not going to lose it. The question is, do you have it? A lot of people say, "Oh, he believed for so long and then he turned his back and denounced Christ and..." Remember, you can be a believer and never be born again. That scares a lot of people. It should scare us. You can be a believer in Jesus Christ. That is, you can say, "I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead." You can say, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God." There's a lot of cults who say that at your door, but their definition is far different than yours. But you can say it all you want. You can sit in Calvary Chapel all your life. But until you take those truths and come to trust in Him, you're not a Christian. You're simply a believer. It's believing that takes you to faith in Christ. Believing is only a car that drives you to the stadium. Faith gets you inside the stadium. Once you're in the stadium, you see, you're on the team. Believe in Christ. That's good. That's where you begin. Now put your faith in Him. Be born again. The moment you're born again by the Spirit of God, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1. You are set aside for redemption. He will never take His redeeming seal off of your life. You can sin, backslide, cave in, goof off. You will never lose your salvation if you are saved. The question is, was that person who is now, quote, backsliding, ever a Christian to begin with? Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6 tells us, "For it is once impossible to renew those again to repentance who tasted of the heavenly gift. They supposedly loved the Lord." And it says it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing that they crucify again the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. What is He talking about? Losing your salvation? Not at all. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, He's talking about those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, but they never put it to their heart in faith. And what they do is they go back on that commitment and they try to work their way or go back to the old sacrifices of a religious life. And they're forever lost because they were never saved to begin with. They didn't go all the way through. They simply tasted of the heavenly gift and of the power to come. Make no mistake about this, because every one of us struggle with this when somebody will say, well, you know what? My brother-in-law, he went forward at a Billy Graham crusade, or he gave his heart at church. He never really walked with God, and you know, he died last week. Listen, but I have a peace that he's with the Lord. On what grounds? I hear this all the time, people. I just have a peace. Was he walking with the Lord? No. Was there any change in his life? No. What does the Bible say about that? These are critical things. So often we say, well, I have a peace and I think that they're in heaven because we want to comfort ourselves. The fact is, we need to make sure that in our own private lives, we are Christians. And nobody wants to hear this stuff in this day and age. But do we believe in Christ to the point where we put our faith in Him? Listen, if you have, you are a child of God. And there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. And one of those things that Paul says in Romans is, nor any created thing shall separate us from the love of God. And that includes me. And that includes you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Why? Because the sheep are his children. The sheep are his. A child bears marks of the parent. It's true. In verse 1, jot it down if you would. Being a Christian is being Christ-like in this respect, that we'll imitate God's love. We are to imitate God's love. And all of you who are believers, mark that down this evening. We are to be imitators of God's love. And this is kind of fun. Now listen carefully. You might think, well, you know, that's an abstract kind of funky thing, imitate, you know. Yeah, that's cool. But listen, what this means is this, that just as a child imitates its parent, the word here means to mimic. It's where we get the word mime. M-I-M-E, mime. You've seen mimes, right? They do this. I don't do mimes, but they do these things, you know? To mimic. The word is mimetes, to mimic. A child will mimic its parent. So we are to mimic our God. And here's the thing, we make it so mystical. We don't need to do that. Gee, you know, I'm supposed to be an imitator of Christ or of God. How am I to do this? And doing the imitation of God's love, what do I do? Think about it. Let's play together. Let's interact right now. If you're going to imitate God's love, somebody give me something. What would you do to imitate God's love? Somebody say something. What's that? Love somebody? Help others? Keep going. Show kindness. Love the unlovable. Show compassion. Give your all. Forgiveness. You could go on and on all night. Now watch, we can blurt it out. But if we put this into practice, we will be imitating the love of God as dear children. Watch what he says here. In verse 1, he says, therefore. Can you circle that word? Circle the word therefore and draw an arrow to verse 32. It's exactly what it means. Therefore. The word in the Greek means to go back to where he's come from. Verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Therefore, built upon verse 32 comes verse 1 of chapter 5. Seems to be almost an apparent contradiction when you look at it. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. Wait a minute. Children have a tendency to stumble about, walk around, put their fingers in their mouth and ears and goof off and create, you know, be kids. But it says to follow God. Therefore, be followers, be imitators. Well, sounds like a contradiction, but watch this. To follow implies a maturity. We are to be mature in following God, following Christ. But we are to be like children. And we need to wipe the slate clean and realize that children mimic and imitate parents. Christians imitate God, Jesus. Don't imitate your pastor. Don't imitate Billy Graham. Don't imitate your friends. Imitate God. How do I do it? You said it a moment ago. Show kindness, be compassionate, love the unlovely, be forgiving. And it's a choice. Isn't that something? And you'll see in a moment how that choice will benefit you, the giver. It will free your life completely. So there's no contradiction. We can follow God in maturity, but yet be children, because it's the word mimic. The other day, not the other day, it's been a couple weeks now, I saw this on the news, maybe you did too, where the guy up in L.A. got pulled over by a CHP officer for driving. He missed a stop sign. And the officer was there writing the guy up for a simple traffic violation. And the little two-year-old boy, did you see it on the news, picks up this marijuana and looks at the officer and says, "Bad, bad." And the kid got his father arrested for a possession of marijuana. Now, what's cool about that thing is that this little kid had probably heard from either mom or dad, "Bad." Either this is bad stuff or bad like it's rad bad. But the kid goes, "Bad." And the cop goes, "You're going with me, sir." And took the father into custody. Because the little boy was mimicking, so to speak, the parent. You ever seen kids mimic when they get behind the wheel of a car? Little kids, they're like acting like mom or dad behind the car. What do little girls always do? They'll dress up. Imitate mom or imitate ladies. They got high heels and they're clicking down the hallway, you know, and they got makeup, lips as big as their face drawn on. You know, they're acting, they're mimicking. And in Greek philosophy and in the times of Christ, there was this thing to mimic, and the school of orators during the time of Christ in Athens did this very thing. Know your theory, imitate the greats, and speak with confidence. That was their rule. Imitate the greats. And the Bible wants us to imitate Christ. So, again, think. How am I to deal with the situation that you're in? Are you in a situation right now? If you're breathing and blinking, some of you are breathing, not all are blinking. You are in a situation right now. You might be saying, "Oh, I am, not me." No, you're in denial. That's why you can't figure out what you're... Everyone's in something. Okay, stop and think. How do I imitate Christ as a child of God in what I'm in right now? Then you do that thing. What would Jesus do in this situation? What does God's word say to do? You do that. You do that thing. Being a Christian is being Christ-like in that we imitate Him. It's much more simpler than you think.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called Being a Christian is Being Like Christ. Our study is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, and of course other biblical sources that instruct us in how to live, how we are to be representatives of Messiah. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember to set the dates aside, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's the Southern California Prophecy Conference that takes place then here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And maybe you've thought, "Well, I'd love to go, but resources are a bit tight." Well, we've taken that into consideration as well. And so after prayer and contemplation, we've taken the unprecedented step of completely waiving the registration fee. Once again, there is no longer a registration fee for the Southern California Prophecy Conference this year. To learn more about the event in February, visit us at SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.